He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
This is He Said, She Said, SNU, 100.
100th issue of Sports Nutrition Update today. 100 times we've done this.
Consecutively. Now talk about consistency, all you people out there. If you want to know what consistency is, that is consistency. Doing the same thing over and over and over
again. 100 times nonetheless.
Well, I remember when it all started and...
I remember sitting in the living room saying that we were going to do this, that we hadn't done it yet. I remember that sitting in the living room. We had a house in Burnaby and we talked about doing Sports Nutrition Update. And here we are today, 100 episodes later.
Yeah, and man, have we met some wonderful people, huh? Some great special guests on SNU.
Actually, somebody asked me, Len Osanek, who is our studio manager, they asked me if you have saved any of the bloopers, because they certainly would like to hear some of our bloopers, because we do tape this, and then we take out some of the bloopers. We take out all of the bloopers, actually, because sometimes it's not pretty.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, as they say. But we've been enjoying ourselves, and I think that's part of the key to consistency.
Absolutely.
It's easy to do something over and over again when you really enjoy doing it.
That's right, Corey. Yes, it is. It really, really is. Yeah, and the best time I like doing SNU is when we're in the studio here doing it face-to-face in the studio. That's
yeah, my absolutely.
Favorite time. We've done it many different ways. We've done a three-way where you were somewhere, I was somewhere, and our special guest was somewhere, and then we've done it in the RV.
Well, you were at an airport, and I was at an RV in some canyon. Then our guest was in some bizarre, strange place. The telecommunication technology is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I still say that recording these interviews and discussions that we have, and then locking them into our members' area and providing them on a monthly basis to all of our friends, our members, our students is just wonderful. And I really do look forward to the next 100. I cannot see an end in sight.
Wow.
I just keep thinking of new people that I want to reach out to and get inside their head.
Yeah.
And for us and for everyone out there, I hope, you know, it's the same. We are thirsty for knowledge. We're hungry. We want to grow. We want to increase the richness of our experience of living. And I think that learning how to live well from experts and by studying and then listening to tutorials and emojicating our mind is very, very cool.
Right. We capture and we try to bring forth to our listening audience what we have discovered. Even if we go to a barbecue, we go to a party, we're always talking to people and we're always asking questions all the time to people. And we find what's very interesting is that people don't ask questions. Corey and I can sit there all night long and nobody ever once asked us a question. Not the fact that we're so busy talking. I don't mean that. I'm just saying we like to ask people questions and we find out about people and what intrigues them, where they're going in their life, what they want to do, where they've traveled, yada, yada, yada. But we're just finding that people don't ask questions.
No, and you know what I've been asking lately? You know how when you meet somebody and you're genuinely interested in them and you ask them what they do? I don't do that anymore. I ask them, so what is your passion? Mm. And it catches them off guard and they have to sort of take a second to think about what I just said, because they're expecting me to say, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And often what people do is not their passion.
Mm-hmm.
But when you ask people, what is your passion?
And then they have to sit and think for a minute.
And sometimes they don't. They come right out with it. And sometimes what they are doing is also their passion.
Yeah.
And they're the lucky ones. Because we were just talking with Lynn about how people have a job versus a career.
Mm-hmm.
And how horrible it is to look at the watch on your wrist.
And 8 hours takes forever.
Yeah, and you just can't wait to get out of there. I mean, what a waste of a life. And you could say, well, I need the money. But no, nothing is more important than your sanity and your life.
Well, you can still work at a job knowing that it's a means to an end. There's something else that you want to do in your life. But right now, this is what you need to do. But you have other things going on.
And certainly people have various capacities to be able to endure. Myself, personally, I don't want to spend 30 years doing something I don't enjoy for the money.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'd rather do something that I really, really enjoy And it provides me with the return I need to facilitate my needs and my wants, etc. It's all a balance, right?
Right. What I ask people is, if you could go anywhere in the world, there's a lot of places to go, but right now, where we're at, where would you like to go? And then people get into telling me. That's my icebreaker for a lot of people. Or seen any good movies lately? And then you get into movies. These are more than just a yes or no answer.
Yeah, well, it's called human dialogue.
Yeah, and I'm
and it's
really,
what I require.
I really,
it's what I like. It's what I love.
That's the whole thing. I'm really interested. So anyways, let's move on, shall we?
There you go. Okay. So what's cooking?
What's cooking is Sicilian pasta. Now, I don't make this all the time, but every now and then I just get a hankering for it. And this is a delicious and very simple pasta dish that you can use any type of pasta. Whole wheat, spelt, kamut, etc. Linguini, spaghetti, rotini, bow ties, etc. So you just figure out whatever you want. You make the pasta as usual and you strain it. And then in a small skillet using olive oil, saute crushed garlic, and then turn off the heat and mix in the following ingredients. Some capers, some chopped anchovies, some crushed red chilies. Stir it all together and then stir it into the pasta with a little extra olive oil just to loosen it all up, and then add your Romano or your Parmesan cheese. And it's very rich, so you don't need a lot. It's really nice. I've used this dish. I might have a soup for a starter, then I'll have some prawns, and then I'll have a small little plate of pasta, like maybe even just a cup of pasta with all these nice anchovies that are nice and salty, and the tartness of the capers. It's just really, really, really good. So you don't need a lot of it, but it just, and everybody loves it.
Yeah, well, I noticed that after you're finished, about an hour or two goes by and you're not hunting for more fish or more salad. You're looking for more of that pasta.
Mm-hmm. I think don't be telling everybody that.
I think females are biologically attracted to pasta more than males.
It's comfort food, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, I
especially
love
when
it.
It's got the cheese on it. It's an estrogen builder.
Oh, I just love it.
Because me, I look at pasta just by itself plain. I don't care how good the sauce is. And I don't even like rich sauces unless they're clean and real and made of whole ingredients. I won't even go near them otherwise.
Yes, we know that,
yes.
Dear.
But the thing is, I look at pasta and I see sugar in a bowl. That's what I see in my brain. Just concentrated
sugar.
Well,
yesterday I did deadlifts, and then I walked to the gym, which is about a mile there and a mile back, in the heat. And I'll tell you, I got home and I had just about two cups of pasta, and I just sucked it right up.
Well, now you see, that's exactly the ideal time to take it.
Yeah.
You deplete glycogen, you deplete your resources, and then you feed. Now, you move first and you eat second. That's the rule of life. That's what I've come up with. A new CHI prime directive, okay? What was the first prime directive? Do you remember what that was? What's the prime directive of CHI?
To pursue health.
No. The prime directive is to supply your biological demands.
Oh, yeah, right.
I thought you were a CSNA master.
Oh, yeah, right. It's right.
Duh. Okay. The new second one is... What did I just say?
Duh.
What was I just talking about?
Duh. Duh. Okay, forget it. Let's get on with anchovies.
But anyway. I got to say what the second one was.
Pursue health and performance.
Oh, no.
Follow.
No.
Train as hard as...
No. The second one now is you move first and you eat second.
Okay.
It was like a light bulb that went on in my head. I thought, okay, looking at animals in nature, none of them... eats first without moving. You have to move first. The reason they move is to get the food they need to survive. So imagine if they're starving to death and they haven't eaten, and people here are saying, I haven't got any energy. I haven't gotten any energy, so I can't do anything.
Yes.
So how do you move if you're near starvation as an athlete? You know what? They conjure up the energy by pure adrenaline and hormones and the stress of being hungry. Now, you've got to stay hungry.
But that starts in the brain, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the key then for training success is to motivate yourself from within mentally, knowing that when you train first, everything improves, and then you feed, then you restore, then you supply, and then the cycle begins to keep turning. That's how it works. You don't feed first, because when you feed first, you get sluggish, you lose your motivation, and you want to sit down and watch TV.
That's right.
I'm going to write a whole article on that.
Okay, you do that.
Okay, continue on with your pasta.
Holy moly, talk about sidetracking. All right, anyway, Sicilian pasta. Now, when you think about anchovies, I know a lot of people go, ugh, anchovies, yuck, I don't like them. Anchovies are small, shiny silverfish of the North America or Mediterranean and European family. Similar to herring, they run in large schools. Because they're small, generally 5 to 8 inches in length, anchovies are often confused with sardines, so they can be interchangeable. The minuscule scales are virtually non-existent, and the skin is perfectly edible. Anchovies are native to the Mediterranean and thus very popular in their cuisine, which is like Sicilian cuisine, has lots of anchovies in it. And so many people will instantly detain any recipe made with anchovies, immediately thinking of pizza or perhaps antipasto salad, though the same people probably really enjoy Worcestershire sauce, Green Goddess dressing, store-bought Caesar salad dressing. They all have anchovies in them. So there you go. You can't really taste them, but there is that salty flavor to them. I mean, I can taste them. I absolutely love them. But those that don't like anchovies, or they say they don't, are probably eating a lot of anchovies in some of these. They're hidden away in some of these foods. So it gives a punch of flavor, and visually you can't see them, but you can sure taste them. That's the secret ingredient, is the anchovies. And the
yeah, I know you're an anchovies freak.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the salt. I think it's the salt that drives you to consume
them. Is that
what
it is?
Well, they're super high in sodium. Just look at a tin of there's not that much sodium in a real live anchovy or a sardine or a mackerel, right? The amount of potassium in the fish and the animal itself far exceeds the amount of sodium. So what they do is just add a shipload, a huge amount of sodium. I think it's part of the snap, crackle, pop of the anchovy too, because everyone that I know who loves anchovies, I think has maybe an element of adrenal exhaustion or some type of sodium addiction. Yeah, because that's the downside of the anchovy.
Yeah.
It's very, it's too high in sodium.
If you were to eat it fresh, right out of the sea.
Who do you know that eats anchovies fresh out of the sea?
Besides, I would like to.
Yes, and that's why we're going to Sicily.
Yeah, I would like to. I really would like to experience
that. You remember that show called Life that is narrated by Oprah, and we watched how the sardines are like maybe up from the plankton, you know, which are the, I guess, the essence of the food chain or at the bottom of it. But these sardines and anchovies play unbelievably important roles in the entire food chain, I guess, authority or circle of life with animals. You know, it's almost like grass on the plains versus the fish in the sea. Mm-hmm. But these small little critters, high omega-3, high quality protein, you eat the innards and the head and everything else. That's why I like eating sardines. I just think that they're enormously healthy. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
So is that it for your Sicilian
pasta?
That's
it. That's all. There
what makes
no
it
more.
Sicilian? Because you thought of it or what?
Exactly.
I mean,
well,
Sicilian?
Anchovies,
okay.
Capers, olive oil.
You know what?
Pasta.
It ain't really Sicilian until you go to Sicily and eat it there. I think that's what makes it Sicilian. So
I can hardly wait.
We're going to hold that one on. Okay, so that's great. So moving on, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Derek Daniels himself. Derek, we met in Hawaii, who became a very good friend of ours. He's an entertainer extraordinaire. He is truly a professional, and that is what caught my eye. He has done just about everything that a professional dancer wants to experience. He also makes the costume that he and his troupe perform in, and they are beautiful costumes. The Tahitian, the Hawaiian, just out of this world. He's not only in great shape, he lives a very healthy lifestyle, and he's got a terrific sense of humor, and he's a great host. And I just want to thank him very much for his friendship, for showing us the aloha way, and thank you for his interview.
Yeah, you know what I think his best quality is?
What's that?
He is Hawaiian, born and raised.
There you go.
Now, how'd you like to be Hawaiian born and raised and actually part of that island, that beautiful place in the middle of the ocean?
Okay, don't talk about it anymore. You're making me homesick for it.
Yeah, but you know what? When we travel, we meet wonderful, wonderful people and people that we will remain friends with for the rest of our lives. We have people sending us emails, inviting us down to their homes, They want to come up here and meet us in Vancouver. It's just wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm telling everyone out there that world travel is, there's nothing like it. It is some of the most wonderful stuff that you're ever going to experience in your life, because the people that you meet and the things that you see, and you get to hold on to it in the back of your head and relive it with your pictures and technology. But we relive it by the people coming at us.
Last night, we were listening to a song that we heard in Arizona when we were driving down the road to go to Scottsdale. And it's called I Believe in Love by Don Williams. And I was telling you, don't you remember we're driving in this Cadillac going down the highway and we played the song 100 times back and forth. And it just reminded us of Dale and Jackie and PJ, people that we met in Arizona and, you know,
in Phoenix, right?
Yeah, in Phoenix. And it brought back all these memories. Just even a song can bring back, flood us with
memories.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I think it's a memory chip. I think that's what system education is all about, the brain thing.
And every time I see an RV, and there's a lot of them around now because it's summertime in British Columbia, I always think, oh, the RV and the places that we went. And yeah, it's so, traveling is awesome. It can bring back some really great memories.
So yeah, absolutely. So speaking of which, thanks very much, Derek. We look forward to your visit here in Vancouver. And of course, we will definitely be connecting with you again when we get back one day to our beautiful Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Okay, so CHI Highway to Health Update. What's going on, sugar?
Well, like I've always said, there's nowhere better to be as in beautiful British Columbia when it's summertime.
It's paradise, supernatural.
It is. And if you haven't been to British Columbia, now all of you out there, I'm sure, watched some of the Olympics, at least some part of the Olympics, and that was in the wintertime.
Sure, like 2 billion people were watching.
And so you saw a lot of Canada. For those of you who aren't Canadian, you saw a lot of pictures of Canada, but they really did focus on British Columbia, and it really is quite beautiful, spectacular. So come on up and have a visit. Anyway, we went to a lovely outdoor wedding for our students of the CSNA, Daryl Greenwood and Katie DeRusha. And that was beautiful, beautiful wedding. She's an absolutely gorgeous bride, and he's a hunk of burning love for a groom. So they make a lovely couple. And we got to sit next to Nathan Hartz, who is also one of our CSNA graduates, and we got the chance to catch up. So that was lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. Like-minded people always have something to share and talk about. And just, I'm thinking about the table that we were at the wedding. Mm-hmm. And the new people that we met, and everyone was kind of like introducing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And
very friendly.
Ultimately, we got into what I did, and sometimes that's hard to describe. You know, when someone asks me, what do you do? And what is the nature of your work? And I always find it difficult to describe it exactly. And I come up with different things because we do so many things.
We should give you an elevator line, an elevator punch. It's like a 30-second thing that you say. Like if you had to tell somebody what you did and you're going up an elevator and you've only got a couple of floors, you have to do it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I think that it's, for me, it's...
What don't I do?
I like the fact that it's always changing. It's never the same. That's what makes me so excited about it, mm-hmm. that I can be so many things to different people. Because someone might ask me what I do and I might answer a certain way, and it's true, but it's only part of what I do or one element. And it's that part that I feel in my conversation with them that they might be able to understand or connect with.
We met some really nice people at that table. A paramedic, was cool. And his wife, who was pregnant, but she was also an airline stewardess. And they were talking about some of their travels that they did, being an airline stewardess, and some of his scenarios of being a paramedic. That's a kind of a thrilling job.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was
telling
us, what is it called, a code 3, when they get to go through all the traffic signs and get their sirens on? He says he's like a little kid.
He says that it's like he's an adrenaline junkie. Yeah. That's part of the adventure of that job. Mm-hmm. It's just like, driving to the scene, and then you never know what's going to unfold when you get there. He does look in the eyes of death on a routine basis. Right. He sees it all the time.
He's seen everything.
Drug addiction, drug overdose, heart attacks.
Yeah.
People getting hit by cars, falling off of trucks, whatever. Who do you call, right? You call the ambulance drivers. You call the paramedics. Those are some of the first people that get there long before the doctors get to us.
Although it's an adrenaline rush, they have to be quite calm in an emergency in order to be able to do that kind of work.
Absolutely.
I think it's fascinating.
And he was talking about the politics, and that was what he didn't like. And then I also asked him, I said, how do you endure the politics? Do you hide yourself in your work? He said, that's exactly how I do it. I love the work, but I don't like who I work for.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how do you do that? Because that's not something I could do. I have done that, but it's not something that I would continue to do for the rest of my life in the space that I'm in right now, especially. I'm not 18 years old anymore. So you get older and wiser and you get more demanding of life. And then you ask yourself, like, what am I doing and why and where am I going and what's the point? You see, is it just about money? Is that the only purpose of my life, to make money?
In our society, yeah, I'm finding
it
that.
It seems to be.
Yeah, I'm finding that.
People exist only to make money.
It's all about money. It's all about money.
And
it's
they
all
expend
about
their health.
Quantity of life, not quality of life. And that's what I'm finding.
It's how much stuff you can collect.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old. This old over 50 thing is really changing the way I see the world and the people I surround myself with. It really does. It really changes you. And I'd like to hear from you. Those who are SNU subscribers, what do you think about it? For those of you who are over 50, have you found that you have changes, and I don't mean the change as a woman, but I just mean, do you find that you have changed the way you perceive life or the way you look at life after 50 or maybe after 60? I don't know, but it's not the same anymore for me.
Well, of course it's not the same because we're not the same.
Because my experiences have shaped the way that I see the world.
Yeah, and you've lived long enough to suffer more.
Yeah.
And that's why kids who are young don't get it, because they haven't suffered enough. Yeah. They haven't lost love. They haven't lost their income. They haven't lost their kids or their parents or gone through the misery of rejection or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
What happens is that when you're living, no matter where you live, no matter how well off you have it, you're going to suffer on some level, emotional, physical, mental, some kind of level. And you have to bear that. You have to get through that. You have to keep climbing through that. And when you do, it makes you better and wiser and stronger. But also you see the BS in life. You realize how much BS there is and how few people actually live up to what they told you they were going to do.
Right, exactly.
Right? So then you begin to realize that a lot of what's going on around you isn't even real. It's an illusion.
Well, I think that it's interesting that people can dish it out, but they can't take it. And I'm sure finding that out now.
Holy smokes.
People can
dish it
out, but they can't take it. Anyway, we also joined Fitness 2000, which is just on Lougheed Village area here in Vancouver. And I find that the staff is the friendliest staff that in a gym that I've been too.
And isn't that a nice change?
I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, they are so, finally, we've met people in a gym, and it's a huge, big gym, too.
Do you know what I believe the difference is? It's because they're not into the assembly line, crunch, sign them up, scare them, you know, mentality, or I guess style of function.
Yeah.
You know, like these big clubs that the only function of the club is to try and get you in the office and sign you up for as long as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once they've done that, they completely ignore and neglect
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah. They're
Whereas
your best
these
friend.
People say hi to you and they don't try and sign you nothing.
Mm-mm.
You've already signed up and they ask you what you're doing. And I love that.
But they're super friendly. Anyway, that's what's gone on with us. Anything else that went on with you?
Well, outside of just being alive and every day, you know, right now I'm still working on my teaching program and with InfoFit, and we're going to have the first run in October. So I'm going to teach the first 12-week program, and I'm very excited about this because all the CSNA masters out there, you'll be able to download this entire program with the audio tutorials, the video tutorials, the PowerPoint. You'll be able to teach this program. It's called Principles of Sports Nutrition from anywhere that you live in the planet, you know, whether it's in land or sea. As long as you can bring students into your classroom environment, could be 1 or 100, whatever, and then they download their student program from our site. And it's just so functional and so cool. So I'm going to work all the kinks out and teach the first run myself. And then InfoFit has a whole bunch of our students now, and they will soon be CSNA masters, and they will all be teaching this program. And of course, now my dream, I can see the vision. I can see people all over the world beginning to teach this wonderful course, which is 100 principles derived from the 10 modules of the CSNA program.
Yeah, it's great.
Each session is 10 principles, and so you get 100. And so imagine what you could teach people, and then there's examinations, there's a certificate of graduation.
And then you've got the teaching aids, which is Corey is talking and just explaining to you what he thinks sarcopenia is and giving you little ideas, but then you use your own style as long as you get the basic gist of what sarcopenia is.
They're all CSNA masters, so they understand the program.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want to preserve the individuality of each person and their teaching, because teaching is its own reward. You do not teach for money.
Yeah.
If you want to make money and that's all you're concerned about, I would say look for another field, like go into oil, or go into space.
But you've made this course really easy for the teacher to teach, and also really simplistic for the mainstream individual. They don't have to be PhDs to take this class.
Oh, no.
And
this is an intro course.
I did the test questions, so it's simply put, folks, okay?
Yeah.
And they're good little test questions, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because they get down to the ground substance.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so hopefully that'll motivate them to want to move on and learn more about sports nutrition.
Yeah, and then that brings us to our conclusion, really, is last night we were kind of brainstorming and thinking about our next part of our tour for CHI and thinking about this course. Okay, so we're going to be here to the end of the year and then in spring, and then you want to get to where for your next what?
I want to get to Nelson, British Columbia, Canada for 2011 for my 35th graduation reunion.
Is it going to be in Nelson? Actually,
yeah,
in Nelson. Unbelievable. That's
35 years.
Now, we've talked about going to the BC interior. You know, there's Vernon, there's Kamloops, there's Osoyoos, there's Penticton, and then there's the Kootenays. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the spring what we could do is we could get to the interior and hang out there for a while, because that's incredible. That's so beautiful. That's the desert of Canada right there.
Yeah.
Okay. And then where do we want to go from there? Once we get to the interior, then where we're going to continue on with our tour?
Across Canada.
Across Canada.
Because we have a lot of students across Canada. We've got Alberta,
Saskatchewan, Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And we want to connect with you. We want to do seminars with our students across the country.
Ontario and
we've got lots
Montreal.
In Montreal.
Yeah.
Okay, in Ottawa. Okay, once we get there, then we're going to visit with your dad, who lives in Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto area.
Okay, so we're going to see him.
Yeah.
And then we plan to exit stage south and get down to North Carolina to do what?
To visit my brother.
And tell us about your brother.
My brother, Bob. He's about 75 years old right now, and he looks and acts like he's 20.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah. He's a great guy. Great sense of humor. Really good sense of humor.
And we need to see him, because family's important.
Absolutely.
People that you love and care about.
And his wife, Carol, his lovely wife, Carol. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you've got some great brothers and sisters and family. Yeah. Okay, so from there,
From North Carolina, fly to England.
London, England.
Yeah, because in England is my other brother, who's like Oxford University trained, plus also a Reiki master.
Now, we're going to go see Brian.
And then we've got Matt Kendrick.
Absolutely. He's close to Birmingham.
Yeah, we have some students
in England.
We've
got some other students. So we're definitely going to do some business and going to do some seminars in England. Mm-hmm. But now here's where we get into the really good stuff, because I'm mainly Scottish. I've got some English and Norwegian in me, but I'm mainly Scottish. And so my dream, part of my goal, I guess, dream concept or picture is I want to go to the island of Skye, which is way up there. I was looking at it on the Google last night. You have to get up to Aberdeen, and there's a couple of other major cities there. I can't remember the names of them. I haven't been to Scotland. I've been to England, but this island of Skye is unbelievable. It's deep. I was looking at it last night. The population has been there, they estimate, as far back as the Mesolithic period, which is like possibly 18,000 years ago that they have inhabitants there.
Cool.
Human beings have been living there, and it's rugged, it's tough, it's unbelievable. There's an essence of me. And then, of course, we're going to, from there, get down to the Netherlands and visit our friends there, and there's some business there. And then we want to get down to where? Where's the final destination?
Sicily,
to discover your roots.
To Sicily.
To discover your roots.
Discover
and we're
going to
live on a farm. We want to do an olive farm or some kind of, we want to experience.
Artichokes.
Yeah, artichokes are big in Sicily.
Yeah, artichokes.
But we want to live on a farm. And as long as we've got access to the internet, we can manage CHI, meet new people, but then experience something more ourselves.
So if anybody has any ideas about that, or a working farm where we could go and work on it for room and board, and we'll work for room and board, as long as we have internet, we can do whatever we want.
You know what I was really just, I was awed by, is that when you look at Sicily and you go to, I guess it would be its most western side, right across the water is Tunisia, which is Africa. Mm-hmm. It's right there. So we're definitely going there because it's so close. That would be like a ferry ride.
Yeah.
You know, that would cool. be so cool.
Well,
so,
I'm looking forward
you know what?
To that.
I'm excited. I get so excited when I start thinking about the wonder that's out there and how what we're doing is actually enabling us to live out our dreams and then continue to meet new people and then educate people in sports, nutrition, health, and fitness. Mm-hmm. How good is that?
It doesn't get much better
than
that.
Hello. And with that as my final word, what's your final word?
My final word is by Anton Chekhov. People don't notice whether it's winter or summer when they're happy.